My Powerful CEO Husband. Chapter 61, Don't Speak with a Weird Tone. After the last class ended, Zaviera Evans sighed while holding her phone. She just wanted to look up some information about Lebanon University, but how did it end up getting linked to Caleb Mamet? Gabby Rome was unreliable, failing to help when she needed it. However, she propped her chin up, deep in thought. In theory, she could hack into Lebanon University's system to find the information she wanted, but she remembered Mortimer warning her not to touch their system. At that time, she wasn't interested in the university, so she casually agreed. Now that she thought about it, why did Mortimer tell her not to touch the Lebanon University system? Could he be studying here, too? It wasn't impossible. Last time they chatted, wasn't Mortimer in Lebanon as well? Moreover, Zaviera felt that Mortimer is young, so there's a high possibility that he's a student at Lebanon University. Which department is he in? Computer University, so she casually agreed. Now that she thought about it, why did Mortimer tell her not to touch the Lebanon University system? Could he be studying here, too? It wasn't impossible. Last time they chatted, wasn't Mortimer in Lebanon as well? Moreover, Zaviera felt that Mortimer is young, so there's a high possibility that he's a student at Lebanon University. Which department is he in? Computer programming, her phone rang, interrupting her thoughts. It was Caleb Mamet calling her to ask where she was. The driver who had dropped her off in the morning couldn't make it back, so Mamet came to pick her up instead. Well, this was a good opportunity to talk to Mamet about the Lebanon University information. Zaviera pocketed her phone, put her hands in her pockets, and slowly walked to the parking lot. Arriving at the rear car door, she pulled the handle but it didn't open. She had no choice but to tap on the window with her knuckles to signal the person inside to unlock the door. Then, the front passenger window rolled down. "Sit in the front." Caleb Mamet's voice floated over, and Zaviera hesitated for a moment, "Are you driving the car today?" If she remembered correctly, this was the first time she saw Mamet driving. He used to sit in the back seat like a boss. Remembering that she needed to ask Mamet for a favor today, she obediently opened the door, sat inside with her legs closed, placed her hands neatly on her lap, and smiled warmly, "I'm real why sorry for troubling you by having to pick me up personally." Mamet glanced at her and said lightly, "Stop talking so creepily, Zaviera." She finally tried to be polite to him, and he called her creepy. "What's wrong with him?" Taking a deep breath, Zaviera suppressed her rising emotions and gritted her teeth with a smile, "What's creepy? I'm just showing my gratitude, you know." "Gratitude? It feels more like you want to grind my bones to dust." Mamet hum phed. This woman didn't even know how to ask for help, utterly foolish. Mamet could guess the reason for Zaviera's attitude change. Gabby must have told her about the Lebanon University information. She wanted him to give in, but her way of asking for help was hard to accept. Zaviera's eyes shifted several times. She remembered Master Ulan saying Tihat men couldn't resist women's compliments and that every man loved to hear sweet words. So, she cleared her throat and tried to speak in the most gentle voice, Mamet, have you been free lately? You often show up at Lebanon University. Mamet's hand gripping the steering wheel stiffened. Zaviera, could it be, Mamet, you're also on the board of directors at Lebanon University? That's really impressive. Mamet slammed on the brakes. Zaviera, if you have something to say, just say it. Don't irritate me. Zaviera coughed and dropped the fake attitude, speaking sincerely, I just want to ask if you're on the board of directors at Lebanon University. If so, I have a favor to ask. I want to see the student records from the mathematics department 20 years ago, and that's all. Keep with the poner tepo. Mamet tapped the steering wheel, so, you're asking me for help. Zaviero let out a sound, I guess so. If Mamet doesn't agree, she could threaten Gabby. If Gabby doesn't agree, well, she'll give him a beating. It's always better to ask without using force. She smiled slightly at Mamet, so, are you going to help or not? Mamet, for some reason, he detected a threatening tone in Zaviera's words. Was this her way of asking for help? Threatening him? Mamet snorted silently in his heart. Just as Zaviera's patience was about to wear thin, he slowly spoke up, indeed, I'm on the board of directors at Lebanon University, and I do have access to student records. Feeling hopeful, Zaviera straightened up, right? Looking up student records is such a trivial matter for you. Can you help? Of course, I can help. Mamet tilted his head and looked at her, but, I don't really feel like helping, Mrs. Mamet may flay short his wheelery miss near. Just as Avira's patience was about to wear thin, he slowly spoke up, indeed, I'm on the board of directors at Lebanon University, and I do have access to student records. Feeling hopeful, Zaviera straightened up, right? Looking up student records is such a trivial matter for you. Can you help? Of course, I can help. Mamet tilted his head and looked at her, but, I don't really feel like helping, Mrs. Mamet. Zaviera. This man was way too arrogant, was he messing with her? Zaviera rubbed her hands, finding it hard to suppress her fists. Chapter 62. Caleb, I just want to look at the student profiles, not doing anything illegal or unruly. Can't you just make an exception? Zaviera Evans cracked her knuckle. Mrs. Mamet, you need to understand that aside from school directors having access to these profiles at Lebanon University, no one else is allowed. Of course, if you have the patience, you can submit an application as a teacher. Once the school directors vote and the majority agrees, you'll be able to see what you want to see. Zaviera. What's even more infuriating is that Caleb took out his phone, do you want to submit an application? I can send you the application form. By the way, I remember there was another teacher who wanted to check the profiles, but his application was denied by the board. Zaviera, with her blood boiling, said, you're talking nonsense. Not long ago, Steve Price saw the Lebanon University profiles. Why can he do it, but I can't? What strict access rights of Lebanon University? He's just messing with her by not letting her see it. Caleb chuckled, Steve Price is my assistant. What's wrong with him helping me check the Lebanon University profiles? Zaviera choked with anger, well, "You're still my husband." As she said those words, her voice got weaker, and when she finally finished, silence filled the car. After a while, Caleb laughed lightly, his gaze indifferent and teasing, "So you still know I'm your husband?" Zaviera hesitated for a moment, not waiting for her to speak. Caleb continued leisurely, "You always call me Caleb. If I didn't know better, I would think I'm your enemy." "Zaviera, hasn't she always called him Caleb?" Did he think that calling him by his full name was too disrespectful? Should she call him Mr. Caleb Mamet or Mr. Caled like others do? Zaviera had an inexplicable premonition in her heart. If she dared to call Caleb Mr. Caleb Mamet or Mr. Caled, he would be even angrier and maybe even throw her out of the car. "What else could I call you besides Caleb? I'm not your employee or underling, so there's no need to flatter you, right?" After saying that, Zaviera tapped her knee, suddenly thinking of how some women addressed Caleb. "Caleb, gig. Caleb." Zaviera strained her voice and acted out, and after shouting, she couldn't help but shiver, while Caleb's body stiffened. The atmosphere in the car grew strange, and finally, Zaviera cleared her throat, trying to break the awkward silence, but before she could speak, Caleb said in a husky voice, "Call me that again. Zaviera." She was stunned for a moment, clearly not reacting, and as Caleb looked at her, as he subconsciously said, "Caleb, gig. Drop the last name." Zaviera finally came back to her senses and tried again, "Caleb." Upward arrow Caleb suddenly felt an itch in his throat. Zaviera was shocked. She didn't expect Caleb to like such a cheesy and flirtatious name. She swallowed, "Caleb, I want to see the Lebanon University profile, yes, is that all right?" Caleb's Adam's apple bobbed, and he pulled at his tie, turning his eyes away, "I'll arrange it for you tomorrow." Zaviera stared at Caleb's slightly pink earlobe as if she had discovered a new world. "So he really likes this kind of thing? And he's even shy?" "Caleb," after a pause, Zaviera went all in and said her next line, "Can I give you a kiss?" Recently, Caleb had been giving her the cold shoulder, and she hadn't tasted food for a long time. Her mouth was always bitter, but now that she had discovered Caleb's weakness, she wanted to take advantage of it. Caleb's heart tingled as he heard her, his voice becoming slightly hoarse, "All right. Zaviera." He actually agreed. Just like that. If she had known that calling him Caleb had such power, she would have called him that much earlier. Zaviera quickly kissed him on the corner of his lips, then took out a mint from her bag. The cool and sweet taste spread in her mouth, and she squinted, leaning in the passenger seat and licking her lips contentedly. Half an hour later, the car arrived at the villa. Just as Zaviera was about to open the car door, she suddenly heard a crisp and sweet voice from a woman outside the villa gates. "Caleb, I'm here with Auntie to see you." "Zaviera, dot." No wonder Caleb liked being called Caleb. He was used to it. Any woman could call him Caleb. Thinking of that, she glanced at Caleb, who seemed lost in thought in the driver's seat, and snorted coldly before getting out of the car. Becoming slightly hoarse, "All right. Zaviera." He actually agreed. Just like that? If she had known that calling him Caleb had such power, she would have Cal-led him that much earlier. Zaviera quickly kissed him on the corner of his lips, then took out a mint from her bag. The cool and sweet taste spread in her mouth, and she squinted, lounging in the passenger seat and licking her lips contentedly. Half an hour later, the car arrived at the villa. Just as Zaviera was about to open the car door, she suddenly heard a crisp and sweet voice from a woman outside the villa gates. "Caleb, I'm here with Auntie to see you. Zaviera, dot." No wonder Caleb liked being called Caleb. He was used to it. Any woman could call him Caleb. Thinking of that, she glanced at Caleb, who seemed lost in thought in the driver's seat, and snorted coldly before getting out of the car. Chapter 63. Family Commandment Token. Vita Coriel ran out of the villa, followed by an elegant and well-maintained noblewoman. Vita attempted to cling to Caleb Mamet's arm, but suddenly noticed Zaviera Evans. She took a step back, frightened, and lowered her head, her voice trembling, "Miss Evans, I didn't know you were here." Zaviera narrowed her eyes at Vita's exaggerated reaction. Was she about to put on another performance? Last time, she and Caleb took turns rebutting every word the Coriel family said, thinking they would be quiet for a while, but now they were back again. Was it because they had a new ally? Zaviera looked at the elegant noblewoman behind Vita, guessing she must be Vita's new supporter. She wondered about the woman's identity, and her gaze swept around subtly. The butler, who had warned the Coriel family last time, stood nervously behind the noblewoman. Seeing the hint of arrogance and satisfaction in Vita's eyes, Zaviera had a rough idea of the noblewoman's identity. She must be Caleb's mother, Mrs. Mamet. Wrapped in a shawl, Mrs. Mamet exuded dignity and elegance, with restrained but luxurious jewelry embellishing her attire. She perfectly showcased her refined taste, avoiding ostentation and appearing like a delicate and exquisite noble woman. Meanwhile, Vita wore a diamond-studded strap dress, with makeup applied carefully, every strand of her hair oozing sophistication. In comparison, Zaviera appeared unkempt, dressed in ordinary sportswear, with her hair casually disheveled, and little makeup beyond a touch of lip balm. Seeing Zaviera's appearance, they both looked down on her. Mrs. Mamet examined her coldly, "Are you Zaviera Evans?" Her undisguised disdain didn't mock any attempt to spare Zaviera's feelings. Caleb's eyes darkened. Zaviera glanced towards Vita, confirming that Mrs. Mamet was her trump card, which explained her boldness despite Caleb's restrictions on the Coriel family. Vita spoke before Zaviera had a chance, "Mrs. Jenny, this is Miss Evans." At such a young age, she's shamelessly seducing someone else's fiancé. Don't worry, Vita, this kind of woman will never set foot in the Mamet family. Zaviera's face darkened. Mrs. Mamet sneered, "Caleb, if you've decided to marry Vita, treat her well. Why are you bringing this sort of woman home? As your mother, I won't let her stay. From today, Vita will live in Lowen Clubhouse to develop a relationship with you." The atmosphere turned icy as she finished. Caleb's cherry blossom eyes seemed to hold a storm as he aggressively scanned Ned the others in the room. Calmly, he asked, "On what authority does Mrs. Mamet decide?" Have you obtained the family commandment token? Mrs. Mamet trembled. The family commandment token. A symbol of the mistress of the Mamet family that she didn't possess. Only the recognized patriarch's wife was allowed to have it, sharing control of the Mamet family alongside the family head. Mrs. Mamet refused to accept this. Caleb, I'm your mother. Would I harm you? It's fine to play around with this woman, but you can't marry her. Nobody can replace Vita status. Listen to your mother and divorce her now. Idly, Caleb reached out to Zaviera, let's go. We don't need to listen to her and nonsense. Mrs. Mamet was provoked by his attitude. Just because she lacked the family commandment token, even her own son wouldn't listen to her? But was it easy for a woman in the Mamet family to obtain such a token? Not just her, Buletinti, for generations, none of the women in the Mamet family had held it. The token had not surfaced for more than 100 years. Vita bit her lip, and leaned weakly on Mrs. Mamet's shoulder, her voice gentle, Mrs. Jenny, it's okay. Please don't ruin your relationship with Caleb for my sake. Mrs. Mamet came to her senses and remembered the reason for their visit. Her face darkened, let's go inside. I don't believe that Caleb would really drive the two of us out for that temptress. Zaviera had heard about the Mamet family commandment token. Apparently, it was established after a family head made an erroneous decision, and at a critical moment, the patriarch's wife stepped forward, leading the Mamet family out of the crisis. In gratitude, and for the family's future, the family agreed upon the creation of the token. When the current head is negligent and acts against the family's interests, the wife possessing the token has authority over any decision, including removing the head and electing a new one. The commandment token could be said to be a sword constantly hanging over the head of the Mamet family, a threat to their status. As a result, it had not appeared for a long time. Chapter 64. You move out of the master bedroom. So your father didn't give the family commandment token to your mother? Xaviera Evans asked curiously. Caleb Mamet chuckled softly, his eyes full of meaning, why are you suddenly asking about the family commandment token, do you want it? Zaviera choked and then looked away. Just asking was tantamount to wanting? She didn't know how this man's thought process worked. If Mrs. Mamet found out that she was eyeing the family commandment token, she would undoubtedly be scolded as shameless again. However, Caleb curled his lips. This woman seemed smart, yet sometimes seemed foolish enough not to know that the family commandment token was alred on her. After the two went upstairs, Caleb went straight to his study. He hadn't seen the documents sent by the company yet, and there was a video conference that needed him to host. Zaviera returned to the master bedroom on the third floor to sort out her things until she was so hungry that her stomach growled, and then she went downstairs to find something to eat. Unexpectedly, just when she went downstairs, she saw Mrs. Mamet ordering a group of servants to move Vita Coriel's luggage into the villa. Mrs. Jenny, isn't this inappropriate, having me and Caleb live in the same room? Vita's face turned slightly red. Mrs. Mamet patted her hand, what's there to be shy about? You and Caleb are already fiancé and fiancé. If it wasn't for the misunderstanding in between, you two would have been married by now, and you would have eventually lived in the same room anyway. It's just a matter of starting earlier, and no one will gossip about it. After speaking, she lowered her voice, and besides, if you don't live there, that woman will live with Caleb. Do you want them to continue entangling each other? Vita bit her lip. I understand, Mrs. Jenny, and I know you mean well, but Caleb is currently infatuated with Miss Evans and puts her above everyone else. I'm afraid that if I do this, Caleb might grow even more dissatisfied with me. You think too much. Mrs. Mamet poked her forehead. All men in the world are alike. Arvita is so beautiful, what man wouldn't be tempted? Mrs. Jenny, Vita acted coquettishly, holding onto her arm. Mrs. Mamet couldn't do anything with her, so she had to compromise, but you're right, Vita. Caleb is currently bewitched by that temptress, so he can't see your merits for the time being. Moving in hastily would only make Caleb dissatisfied. So don't hurry to live with him. With that, she instructed the servants to move Vita's things to the room next to Caleb's. The housekeeper stood in place, motionless. No matter if it was living in the same room with Caleb or next door, he couldn't do it. The third floor only had one master bedroom, which now belonged to Mr. S. Mamet, and young Mr. Mamet had been living with Mrs. Mamet recently. Thus, he couldn't fulfill the request to let Vita live in their neighboring room. Vita also thought of this. She remembered that last time she came to the villa, Caleb and Xaviera had come down together from the third floor. Clenching her fists tightly, tears filled her eyes as she said to Mrs. Mamet, Mrs. Jenny. Caleb lives on the third floor. And that woman also lives on the third floor. What? Mrs. Mamet jumped up. That little bitch actually lives in the same room with Caleb? How is that possible? Caleb hates it when strangers enter his room. Hu's keeper, go throw that bitch's things out of Caleb's room right now. Vita, don't be sad, I will definitely give you an explanation. The housekeeper resisted. Mrs. Mamet has been living in the master bedroom since she entered. If their young Mr. Mamet, who had such a strong territorial awareness, had to give in to her, then what right did Mrs. Mamet, a mother who wasn't close to her son, have to force her to leave the master bedroom? Just as Mrs. Mamet was about to speak, suddenly, Vita's face turned pale, and she trembled as she looked upstairs. Miss Evans, you're here. I didn't mean to deliberately occupy your room. Please don't misunderstand. Everyone turned their heads upon hearing her voice. Leaning lazily on the stairs, Xaviera crossed her arms over her chest, her demeanor like that of watching a drama. Seeing her like this, Mrs. Mamet became even angrier, and her tone was commanding, Xaviera, you came at the right time. With your status, you don't deserve to live in the master bedroom at all. I'm giving you a chance now, move your things out of the master bedroom yourself, and I won't fuss over it. Otherwise, don't blame me for not giving you face. Xaviera raised her eyebrows. Not give her face? When has this woman ever given her face? Mrs. Mamet was convinced that Xaviera wouldn't dare defy her orders, so after speaking, she sat down on the sofa with Vita and leisurely drank coffee, completely disregarding Xaviera. Xaviera rubbed her temples. What should she do? This was really irritating. Chapter 65. Not marrying you, Zavira. Evans gradually stopped smiling. Before she could speak, the housekeeper couldn't hold it back anymore. Madam, what you're doing is utterly unreasonable. You want Mrs. Mamet to move out of the master bedroom and have Miss Coryell live with Mr. Mamet. Mrs. Mamet and Mr. Mamet are legally married. After saying this, he glanced at Vita Coryell, continuing, "It's outrageous to invite oneself in like this." Having heard the word wife, Mrs. Mamet slammed down her coffee cup. "Whiffy? Does she qualify?" The housekeeper seems to be confused. Lost sight of W. Ho's the real master after leaving the old mansion, hasn't he? And Zavira, if Y.O.U. had a shred of decency, you'd understand that you and Vita are worlds apart. There's absolutely no comparison. The third floor is not fit for you. I generously offered you a room to live in at The Lowen Clubhouse, but you can absolutely not live in the master bedroom. Y.O.U., of all people, should be living in the servants' quarters. Don't you fear shortening your lifespan when you step in and out of the master's bedroom? Having said this, she lifted her chin arrogantly and pointed towards the direction of the servants' quarters. Now, I give you the chance to choose, would you willingly move out of the master bedroom, or do I have to throw you out? Zavira narrowed her eyes. Was she threatening her? Vita bit her lip. Mrs. Jenny, please don't say that about Miss Evans. She is, after all, the lady of the Evans family, the lady that was found from the countryside. What? From the countryside? No wonder she's so ill-mannered. Mrs. Mamet covered her nose as if Zavira carried germs. Don't mention the miss from the countryside, not even legitimate daughters of the Evans family can compare to a single hair of yours, Vita. The best they can do is to serve you. Listen to me, Zavira, Vita is magnanimous not to hold it against you, so I advise you to treat Vita nicely. Maybe she might spare you when she ultimately marries Caleb. Vita lowered her gaze, silent. Zavira finally understood why Vita had returned to the villa. All she needed to do was shed a few tears, and many would stand up for her. This was true for Mr. and Mrs. Coryell, and even for Mrs. Mamet. All she needed to do was hide behind these people, quietly wait for them to remove all obstacles, and then cleanly marry Caleb. Mrs. Jenny, Vita tugged at Mrs. Mamet's sleeve, let it be, Mrs. Jenny, you shouldn't make it too tough for Zavira, Caleb wouldn't be happy if he hears about this. Looking remorseful, Vita said, I'm sorry, Miss Evans. Mrs. Jenny did not mean any harm. She just speaks her mind. I really like Mrs. Jenny's candidness. It's refreshing to interact with her, unlike others who beat around the bush. Zavira. Speaking one's mind and verbal abuse are two entirely different things. Mrs. Mamet patted Vita's hand affectionately, you are the most understanding, Vita. I've already set my heart on having you as my daughter, in law in this lifetime, and anyone else shouldn't even bother thinking about it. Having said this, Mrs. Mamet looked at Zavira with a cold sneer, Zavira, you do not wish to move because you want the money. Your kind, who come from the countryside, have probably never seen the Mamet family's wealth or lived in such a luxurious mansion, so you're clinging onto Caleb, shamelessly acting as his mistress. Since it's about money, I would rather not waste any more words. $5 million for you to leave Caleb and get out of this house. So, she finally decided to use money as a weapon? However, she was only offering $5 million, it seemed that Mrs. Mamet was not as wealthy as the rumors suggested. The offer was too low, Zaviera found it a bit boring. The one thing she wasn't lacking was money. A simple task could bring tens of millions of dollars to her account. Mrs. Mamet had the audacity to humiliate her with money, of all things. Zaviera began to feel a perverse sense of amusement and suddenly thought of a good way to retaliate, but someone beat her to the punch. A man's voice came from upstairs, his tone was calm but held an undeniable authority. Caleb Mamet's cherry blossom gaze was icy cold, lips tugged in a slight smirk, devoid of any emotion, an unwelcome mistress. A wife that, under the law, received the marriage certificate by marrying me openly in civil affairs, is suddenly a mistress when it comes to Mr. S. Mamet. Once again, he stood by Zaviera, in opposition to himself. Mrs. Mamet's face twisted in anger. But Caleb wasn't done speaking. He turned to Vita, his tone even more sinister, and you know exactly who I went to the Civil Affairs Bureau to marry. Vita Coriel's face turned pale as a sheet. Chapter 66. So your mouth shut. Under everyone's gaze, Caleb Mamet walked leisurely to Zaviera Evans' side and naturally took her hand. Zaviera was puzzled. She had wondered why Caleb agreed to marry into the Coriel family when she first met Vita Coriel. Was it really because of Sir Mamet's coercion? But Caleb didn't seem like the obedient child who would follow his family's arrangement. Now, hearing what Caleb said, Zaviera understood that the person he had been waiting for at the Civil Affairs Bureau that day wasn't Vita. So, who was Caleb really waiting for at the Civil Affairs Bureau that day? Vita's face turned pale. Caleb, I was just joking with Miss Evans and Mrs. Jenny. I didn't mean to really drive her away. Caleb, don't call me brother, I don't have such a shameless sister. Zaviera. You were clearly happy when someone was calling you Caleb not long ago. Men are indeed fickle. Vita's face turned very ugly, and she forced out a smile that was uglier than Cr Ying. Fine. Mrs. Mamet saw that Vita was being bullied so miserably. She pointed at Zaviera angrily, you think you have a backer now that Caleb is here, so you start bullying Vita openly, right? How can there be such a vicious girl in this world? Zaviera laughed, was this the legendary tactic of picking on the weak? The words came from Caleb, but she was left holding the bag. Zaviera hated taking the blame in her life. She straightened up slightly, folded her arms and exuded an imposing aura, Mrs. Mamet, isn't it? I doubt you brought your brain when you left your house, so why oh you can't hear or see that it's your own son next to me who's scolding Vita? Also, I don't know where you heard the news from, saying that I'm messing around with Caleb. Mrs. Mamet was furious. Isn't it obvious? You're poor, and you, a poor rural Pearson, just hope to marry a rich man to change your life and become a phoenix. Zaviera nodded slowly. Oh, that's how it is. She raised her eyes leisurely to look at Mrs. Mamet. But as far as I know, Mrs. Mamet, you also come from a humble family, right? It seems that you still owe a lot of money outside. According to your logic, when you married into the Mamet family, it was also for money and you shamelessly became someone's mistress. The entire living room fell into silence. Mrs. Mamet trembled with anger. She pointed at Zaviera, her voice shrill, you bitch, who gave you the courage to talk to me like this? What's wrong? Am I not right? Or does Mrs. Mamet think she's a pure white lotus, untainted by the mud? Mrs. Mamet's face turned red, and she smashed the cup beside her with a bang, Caleb, are you just going to watch this bitch talk to me like this? Don't forget that I am your mother. Mother. Caleb lowered his eyes. Was this kind of woman worthy of being a mother? From childhood, she had beaten and scolded him, like a madwoman, even tried to drown him and strangle him when he was a child, cursing him not to die a good death. After he became the current head of the Mamet family, she began to control him, order him around in the name of a mother, and pretended to care for him warmly. Was such a hypocritical and selfish woman worthy of being his mother? Seeing the atmosphere, Vita hurried to Mrs. Mamet's side and tried to soothe her. Mrs. Jenny, let it go, it's really all right, I don't have to live with Caleb. As she spoke, she suddenly sighed and looked at Zaviera with envy. Miss Evans, I'm really envious of you. You made Caleb like you in such a short time. While I'm just an insignificant playmate. Seemingly yielding, but actually pouring oil on the fire. Mrs. Mamet loved Vita very much, and seeing her looking so desolate, her raggy grew even stronger. She wanted Caleb to like Vita, but he chose Zaviera, a woman from the rural area who was not presentable. He had no regard for his own mother. This was a slap in her face. Vita continued sighing, it's my fault that I can't make Caleb like me. It's my fault that I can't let go of Caleb even though I know it's wrong. What should I do? I really like Caleb so much. Caleb's gaze was cold without any warmth. Call me brother one more time, and I'll sew your mouth shut. Zaviera, Vita. Vita's tears were still hanging in her eyes, looking pitiful as if they were about to fall, but Caleb's expression was unchanged, and his words were even colder. Miss Coriel, if you insult my wife half a sentence again, be prepared for your family's bankruptcy. Chapter 67. Is Caleb Mamet an illegitimate child? Zaviera Evans subconsciously glanced at him. This man, was he defending her? Vita Coriel's face instantly stiffened. Mrs. Mamet shouted angrily, Caleb, what kind of nonsense are you saying? Vita is your fiancé, and the Coriel and Mamet families will be closer in the future. But you dare to say that you'd bankrupt the Coriel family all for Zaviera Evans, this bitch? Have you lost your mind? Zaviera Evans, the mistress and temptress. Mrs. Mamet, was my warning to you not valid? Caleb Mamet spoke impatiently. Why oh you keep calling Zaviera a third party, placing yourself on a moral high ground? Have you oh you forgotten your dark history of causing the death of the original wife and taking G her place? You clearly got your position by being the mistress, yet you pretend to hate M's stresses and wish for them to die. It makes me doubt my memory that Mrs. Mamet herself is a mistress. The air fell into a deadly silence. Xaviera couldn't help but widen her eyes. Mrs. Mamet was the mistress? Then Caleb. Mrs. Mamet's fingertips trembled slightly, "You ungrateful child. If I am the mistress, then what are you? An illegitimate child who can't be seen in public." Caleb's eyes turned cold. "I am indeed an illegitimate child, which is why I never covet things that do not belong to me. However, it appears that Mrs. Mamet and Miss Coryell do not understand this." Xaviera never expected that an argument would bring up the old grievances between the Mamet family from years ago. Mrs. Mamet could barely stand, feeling dizzy and stumbling back a step before collapsing onto the sofa. Seeing Thais, Vita quickly changed her tone, "Caleb. I mean, Mr. Mamet, don't talk to MRs. Jenny like that. She is just too concerned about you, so that's why things are chaotic right now. Butler, show our guests out." Caleb didn't even glance at Vita, directly ordering the butler to close the door and escort the guests out. MRS. Mamet was kicked out of the villa by her own son, her whole body trembling with anger. Although Vita despised Mrs. Mamet's incompetence, unable to let her stay in the villa, she knew that she could only rely on Mrs. Mamet, and thus spoke soothingly to her. "Mrs. Jenny, it's my fault. I shouldn't have held on to illusions about Caleb, knowing that he was already married but still wanting to be with him. I just can't accept that he abandoned me to get married like this. But the matter is settled now, and I tried my best. But with Caleb's attitude towards me, what should I do, Mrs. Jenny? It seems like I can't be your daughter-in-law anymore." Vita grew more upset and emotional as she spoke, "Mrs. Jenny, I don't want to interfere with Caleb's marriage, I don't want to be the third party. I just want to know why Caleb chose Miss Evans over me." Mrs. Mamet's eyes darkened. "Vita, rest assured, you will never be the third party. You are the daughter, in law I recognize, the only one. The position of Mrs. Mamet is just temporarily taken by that bitch Xaviera Evans. Why, oh, you will take it back eventually." Vita shook her head, sobbing, "I can't take it back. Miss Evans can throw away her dignity, but I can't. I can't break their marriage. I can wait until they get divorced, I can wait for Caleb forever." Vita planned everything carefully. Her engagement to Caleb was all a lie, and Caleb appeared at the Civil Affairs Bureau that day not for her. But no one knew about this except for Caleb and her. As long as she insisted that she was Caleb's fiancée, she could maintain that Xaviera was a mistress for as long as she wanted to. Mrs. Mamet grumbled, "That Xaviera is nothing but a disgusting foxy woman. How could she compare to you?" "Vita, rest assured, my daughter-in-law will always be you, and I will help you take back the position of Mrs. Mamet." Vita cried, "Mrs. Jenny, I don't care about any of this, no I don't care. The only thing I'm afraid of is outsiders laughing at Caleb once they find out. After you all, Miss Evans is not from the upper class and has never learned upper class etiquette. I am afraid she will embarrass Caleb and bring trouble to him. Caleb is already tired from managing the company, and he finally married a wife thinking gee that she would help him share the burden. But instead, she only made it heavier." Vita watched Mrs. Mamet's expression as she choked, Mrs. Jenny, why don't you help Miss Evans? Hire an etiquette teacher for her to teach her about the upper class society. No matter how Caleb treats you, he is still your son. You cannot stand by and watch as Caleb is ridiculed by others. Upon hearing this, Mrs. Mamet became even angrier, but she also admired Vita's comprehensive thinking. She patted Vita's hand, "You're always the most considerate, Vita." Chapter 68, The Invitation from the Coryell. Family inside the villa, Caleb Mamet glanced away slightly, Mrs. Mamet doesn't have any questions. Xaviera Evans was taken aback, "What do you mean to ask?" Want Caleb smirked, full of sarcasm, "Aren't you interested in the fact that the head of the Mamet family is an illegitimate child?" Xaviera. Why would she be interested? Every family has its difficulties, and she had her hands full dealing with her own family's problems. She had no time to be interested in other people's grievances or hatreds. Besides, what could one's background represent? Who would want to be born an illegitimate child? If infants had a choice, they would rather be born into a poor family than be an illegitimate child who couldn't see the light of day, especially one from a rich and wealthy family. Xaviera had heard some stories about Caleb's childhood from the housekeeper and knew that Mrs. Mamet often abused him when he was little, not giving him food or drink, and often putting him in solitary confinement. Xaviera thought that behind every successful person lies bitterness. Very few people have a smooth life from the very beginning. Take her and Caleb, for example. At least she was better off than Caleb because she had Uncle Evans, who sincerely cared for her and made her childhood less miserable. But Caleb was entirely on his own. It was said that he even had a younger brother. They were born from the same mother, but their treatments were worlds apart. Mrs. Mamet doted on her younger son, giving him everything he wanted, and even sought to wrest control of the Mamet family from Caleb and pass it on to her younger son. When she first heard these stories, Xaviera wondered if Caleb was truly Mrs. Mamet's biological child. She pondered whether there was a dramatic twist, like a plot where an imposter prince takes the place of the real one. Otherwise, why would a mother treat her children so differently? Caleb leaned against the recently tidied sofa and cast her a casual look. It was at this moment when the housekeeper returned after seeing off the guests. "Mr. Mamet, the lady said she came today to tell you that the Coryell family is hosting a banquet at my faux hotel. Sir Coryell's intention is to have you in attendance, Sir Coryell." Xaviera caught the keyword, and Caleb's cherry blossom eyes narrowed as well. If the invitation came from anyone else in the Coryell family, he could simply ignore it. But he couldn't do that for Sir Coryell, who had once helped the Mamet family. It was reasonable for him to accept the invitation. Moreover, Sir Coryell was the only sensible person in the Coryell family. The housekeeper continued when he saw that Caleb didn't say anything, and his face did not show much resentment. "The reason the Coryell family is having a banquet is because they have acquired one of Lahill's designed dresses. This dress is a worldwide limited edition, and the Coryell family purchased it. The Coryell family has invited many people from the upper class, as well as elites from the fashion industry. They are most likely looking to break into the high and luxury dress market." Xaviera stiffened when she heard the name Lahill. Her designed dress was in the possession of the Coryell family. How did it get there? She didn't have many global limited edition designs in her collection, but her favorite was Fleeting Time. Before Zaviera could finish her thought, the housekeeper continued, "The Dray SS is Lahill's design, Fleeting Time. There are very few design drafts by Lahill in circulation, and even fewer finished products. When Fleeting Time first appeared, countless people fought for it, but then it suddenly fell silent. People speculated at the time that it had been bought at a high price, but they didn't expect the buyer to be the Coryell family. It seems that although the Coryell family has declined in recent years, their Soli D foundation remains." Zaviera, Dot, nodded without hesitation. Caleb chuckled lightly, "You're such a naughty kid." As soon as he heard Zaviera's tone, he knew she was thinking of something, and he guessed there must be something wrong with the Coryell family's Fleeting Time. But he didn't really care about that. The people from the Coryell family had been bouncing around in front of him lately, teaching the M.A. little lesson was not too much to ask for. Chapter 69. Please do me a favor, Zaviera. Evan smiled like a fox. "I haven't seen such a high-level banquet before, so can't I go to gain some experience?" O.M. Caleb Mamet chuckled and turned his eyes away. After Zaviera went upstairs, she walked to the balcony and made a call. The call was quickly answered. "Zaviera, you finally think of calling Albert? You've been away for several months, not even bothering to call in the middle to let us know you're safe. Master has been so angry that he wants to expel you from Tihi school." "Zaviera." Seeing Zaviera not speaking, Albert added in a guilty manner, "Don't worry. Deonti, you know what kind of temper Master has? He keeps saying he'll expel you from the school, but in the end, it's us fellow apprentices who suffer." Master never wanted to vent his anger at Zaviera, so he took it out on them instead. They were used to it. Hehe. Zaviera scratched her head in embarrassment. "Albert, are you free, Lotelli? I need a favor. If Zaviera asks me, I'll definitely be free. Someone made a fake Fleeting Time, and they're going to display it at my faux hotel next week. I can't reveal my identity right now. Can you help me out?" Upon hearing this, Albert became furious. An imitation of Lahill's work? How dare they? "Don't worry, Zaviera. I'll be there next week." After settling things with Albert, Zaviera hung up the phone. Vita Coryell and Caleb Mamet were not fiancé and fiancé, but Vita constantly provoked her. Zaviera tolerated it once or twice, but continuous provocation was asking for a beating. At the Coryell residence, Mrs. Coryell was furious. "That bitch actually drove you out. You're Caleb's fiancé, the future mistress of the Mamet family. If that little temptress was smart, she should kneel down and serve you, please you. Only then would you give her some benefits out of charity. But she actually drove you out of the Mamet villa. Woo. Zaviera stole Caleb from me, and she mocked me. I also heard from people at Lebanon University," Vita cried, her tears like rain. "They said Zaviera is Lahill. If she's Lahill, she must look down on me. And if she's really Lahill, our Coryell family's fashion plans will be thwarted." "Lahill? How could she be Lahill? A hint of cunning flashed in Mrs. Coryell's eyes. She probably saw that the students are inexperienced and easy to deceive, so she said it to fool them. Vita's eyes flickered, but what about the dress from our family, won't it be exposed? Mrs. Coryell said arrogantly, it won't. Lahill's dresses sold never care who the buyer is, and reselling them is a common occurrence. Even if Lahill is present, she won't suspect anything. After all, our family's imitation is so convincing. Don't worry, there won't be any mistake. S. Make sure Zaviera is there to see it, and expose her lie about being Lahill. Give her a good slap in the face. Maybe Caleb will even despise her for embarrassing him and divorce her. Early the next morning, after Zaviera arrived at school, she found out that Jesse Whitman had taken a week off. Although Lebanon University was a university, they were very strict about taking leave. If there was no important reason, the school wouldn't grant it. Now that Jesse could take a week off, it showed how big of an impact yesterday's incident had on her. But what does this have to do with Zaviera? She walked towards the classroom, not too far away. Mag Evans was holding Moore Mammoth's arm, talking with nearby classmates. Mag, you said that the lady your family brought back from the countryside is really something. It's fine for her to make Jesse apologize, but she even had their class leader and sports leader threaten Jesse, scaring her to the point of taking leave. The classmate looked at Mag. Mag, it's a good thing you're kind-hearted and not like Zaviera. Mr. Mammoth, it's great that you can be with Mag. They had heard before that the one getting engaged to the Mammoth family was Zaviera, but Eve Ryan in the school assumed that Mag and Moore were a perfect match. What makes Zaviera think she's worthy of being with Moore? Mag's lips curled in a smug smile. Although the school had given her a warning, her image was so good that so many classmates thought it was normal for her to think that way when she suddenly saw her long-lost sister come out of a stranger's car. So they generously forgave Mag's actions. Mag was extremely gentle, with an expression of reluctance, "Don't say that. My sister is actually very nice, it's just that her previous environment was quite different from ours. It will take her some time to adapt. Once she gets used to it here, you'll find that she's actually a very good person." Hehe, a very good person. The classmate sneered, "A crow will always be a crow, don't try to turn it into a phoenix. Zaviera is vicious and petty. Mag, you'd better stay away from her." In the Mammoth frowned. He had no idea that Zaviera Evans had such a terrible reputation at school. Given that, he'll find a chance to advise Zaviera to quit working at this school. After all, the Evans family certainly don't need her salary. Mag Evans sighed and said to a classmate, "No, we're real sisters, there's no question of leading each other astray. Now that we're talking, I want to apologize to my sister for what happened yesterday. So many people insulted my sister yesterday, I'm afraid she might take it to heart. Lily, Moore, would you both like to join us? I believe our support will greatly encourage her. I heard that the Coryell family is unveiling the special fleeting time gown from Lahill's design next week. I'd like to invite my sister to come and see it. After all, it's a gown she designed. I believe she will feel a sense of accomplishment." Lily Ross snorted. "Mag, you are so sweet. As for Lahill, anyway, I definitely don't believe that Zaviera is Lahil. I've noticed that Zaviera and Gavi Rome are pretty close, there might be something going on between these two. No one has ever seen Lahil, or knows what they look like. Zaviera casually claims to be Lahil and those silly students actually believe her. Of course, they believe Zaviera is Lahil mostly due to Gavi Rome's status in the school, which is rather extraordinary. More Mamet nodded in agreement with what Lily Ross has said. When Zaviera Evans came out of the teaching building, she saw Mag Evans, holding More Mamet's hand and walking towards her. Zaviera raised her eyebrows, why are these two always trying to get in her face? Do they have some kind of problem? Sis, there's a misunderstanding between us. Can we sit down and talk? Zaviera ignored her, ready to leave, but then her eyes suddenly contracted. The stairs from the third to the second floor were full of debris, and on top of the pile laid a fruit knife with a long blade, placed upward, presumably someone's idea of a prank. If anyone accidentally fell down from the stairs, that fruit knife would penetrate their body. How could such a potential danger exist in the school? If a student horsed arrowed after class, or slipped during a walk, it could lead to a fatality. Zaviera was about to find someone to handle this when Mag Evans had cut her off. Sis, I just want to talk to you. Can you not reject me like this? Lily and Moore are waiting behind, they won't hear what we're saying. I know you like designing, the Coriel family is going to exhibit Fleeting Time next week, sis, you should be very familiar with the words Fleeting Time, right? Zaviera narrowed her eyes slightly, unsure of what scheme Mag Evans had in mind. Chapter 70. Before she could question her, Mag Evans suddenly slipped, her eyes widened fearfully, ah. Sis, then she shoved Zaviera. Zaviera laughed, behind her was the fruit knife that had been fixed in place. She originally suspected it was some student's prank, but now it seemed some people planned it in advance. As long as Mag gave her a slight push, she would undoubtedly fall onto the fruit knife, getting stabbed through the heart. It seemed Mag had already envisioned Zaviera lying in a pool of her own blood, a satisfied smile crept onto her lips. She really didn't want this bitch to live, she couldn't tolerate her own light bangi stolen by Zaviera. In this world, the only one who deserves the spotlight is her, Mag Evans, only she should sit in the position of Miss Evans. Even if she couldn't kill Zaviera in an accident today, she would make sure Xaviera knew that going against her meant only one outcome, death. Zaviera's gaze turned cold, she didn't expect Mag to be so audacious, but her priority was not to be angry with Mag, it was to ensure that she survived, unscathed. Falling backwards down the stairs, she'd hardly be able to maintain balance. Even if the knife didn't catch her, she'd likely end up with a broken bone or concussion. Mag Evans fixed her crazed gaze on Zaviera, she was so consumed by her obsession that she didn't notice Zaviera shooting a thin wire from her hand. WHICH entwined the fruit knife and deflected the blade just slightly, allowing Zaviera to avoid the sharp edge noticed. From Mag's perspective, Zaviera had fallen down the stairs heavily, but did not land on the fruit knife she'd already set up. She cursed under her breath at Zaviera's good luck. But she had to keep up appearances. She choked back a sob and wiped away some non-existent tears, asking in panic, "Sis, how could you be so careless? Are you okay? Did you get hurt? Don't be scared, I'll see Om and help you." Zaviro looked up, her eyes cold. She got up, stretched her muscles and started walking back upstairs. Seeing her actions, a sense of disappointment flashed through Mag's eyes. Chaoveng failed to kill this bitch. But she maintained a gentle appearance, "Sis, let me take you to the medical office."